you can host the best backyard barbecue. You can find a professional on Angi to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angi app or visit Angi.com today. You can do this when you Angi that.
Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you're going to be listening to. Right here, youtube.com/Steven Larson. Available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscription button, the subscribe button, and the notify bell
Next
to it. You always get new Going In Raw content. If you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/Steven Larson, where you can find a bevy of rewards here. If you like this live stream, you can watch other live streams for our recap shows. You can also go on the iOS podcast app and leave us a rating or a review. If you don't have any money and you just want to leave us the, if you want to support the show. It helps us. We're also available at Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/Going In Raw. Starting this Wednesday.
Wednesday, the 22nd.
You can get this shirt at a discount.
Hey.
You're not like, we can do that as much. Do this and this. You're not me. It's all this shirt.
It's all Slow Wolf.
ProWrestlingTees.com/Going In Raw. You can get your Slow Wolf shirt there. There's our Twitter handles.
Yeah.
Great stuff. All good
Cold Water Larson shirt's going to be up during the sale, too.
Yeah.
Mine is ready.
May I see the design, please?
Do you want to see it right now?
Yes, please.
All right.
They don't get to see it, but no. Steve wants to see it.
There it is. See, looking, I got the background stuff. How you did it?
Where's your face? Where's the face one?
The face would be a separate one. I want this one because it's more general.
I like that font.
It's a good font. People that might not want my ugly face on their chest to get this and its words.
Can you at the same time? Can you upload the face one?
I can do them both. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, do them both at the same time because I want to wear the face one.
Oh, okay.
I don't care about that one. I want to wear
the
face one.
But the thing about the face one, it's got hair on it.
I don't care about that.
All right.
So I don't care about that.
Hair and long beard.
Yeah. Hey.
Hey.
Anyways.
So yeah. There'll be two shirts going up between now and the sale. Be on the lookout.
Well, I want to put four shirts up. Those two, another Going In Raw one, and then maybe even another Going In Raw one.
Yeah, we need more Going In Raw logo options
For sure.
People out there.
Yeah,
I'll do the fun wrestling style one.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I'll do
chrome letter
another one. I want to do like sort of a weird like punk inspired one.
All right.
Like it looks like a zine, like you're wearing a freaking Going In Raw zine.
Yeah, that's good.
I like zines, man.
Yeah.
They're cool.
Do I still have that book you lent me?
Maybe.
That's not my bookshelf, though.
Oh, no. Maybe I don't have it.
I don't think I do.
I don't know. Anyways, people want to know about hashtag Survivor Series, Larson.
Oh, they do?
Maybe. I don't know. Unless they just want to hear the dick around.
Yeah, let's talk about t-shirt designs for an hour.
Please. No, let's talk about Survivor Series 2017.
Okay.
I'll be honest with you. My favorite pay-per-view of the year.
Really?
Yeah. And we're coming towards the end. This is the second-to-last pay-per-view of the year.
I thought Payback was pretty good.
Which one was that?
That's one we went to in San Jose.
What did they do there?
It was Roman versus Braun, that last man standing match, whatever. Pretty brutal. Funny.
Here's the thing. My thing is this. I always love
House of Horrors too, man.
I always love the. Yeah, no. I always love the match. Like the Marvel versus DC type stuff. You know,
the Amalgam Universe.
I think it's Boom or IDW has the Star Trek and Star Wars. So they've done like Star Wars and Star Trek crossovers. They've done, like, Star Trek and Green Lantern crossovers.
That's weird.
I love crossovers.
You do, I know.
And so this is, the one time of the year when both brands get together and go blank to blank. Larson, what is it? Ass to ass.
Okay.
Ass to mouth.
You.
That's what happened last night. We saw a lot of ass to mouth. No, head to head.
Head to head, yes. Toe to toe.
Toe to toe. We got reminded of that constantly.
Head to head. I know.
Yeah.
Incessantly. Like, the show's already happening. You don't have to, like, promote it anymore.
Yeah, I know, right?
Anyway. The show happened.
Surprisingly, it kicked off with new... Well, actually, no. Let's talk about the pre-show a little bit. We had three matches.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch any of them?
Not yet.
You're not missing much.
Enzo successfully defended the Cruiserweight title against Kalisto.
Correct.
Kalisto botched his entrance.
Oh, that was the bet. You saw the – I showed you the gif of that.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Kalisto came to do his little trampoline entrance, and he just hung himself out to dry on that top rope.
Yeah.
That was awesome. He draped himself.
It was.
I didn't see if – I have no idea if Enzo won. I'm assuming he won clean.
Yeah.
I wonder – dude, I'm thinking that Tommy's going to show up tonight.
Could be.
Or tomorrow.
They have a Enzo segment planned for Raw, I read.
I'm telling you, man. The day when Tommy's going to come out, give him that title.
Yeah.
He's freaking great.
He's amazing. Also, Owens and Zayn defeated Breezango. And then Elias defeated Matt Hardy.
Yeah, I watched the majority of all that stuff. Because I was pitter-pattering around here.
Pitter-pattering.
Yeah, and it was nothing to write home about. You know what I'm bummed out? It's a freaking pre-show for the one time that both brands go head-to-head. So
they should also be brand versus brand matches.
Elias Sampson versus Aiden English. That is a flipping. That is a no-brainer.
Owens and Zayn versus the Club.
No-brainer.
It's not like they need to protect the Club.
Right. Exactly.
Carl Anderson eats losses every week.
No-brainer. And then Enzo versus the Club. You can't really get around that.
Well, that's Sin Cara challenge for the Cruiserweight title.
There you go.
He's a Cruiserweight.
Sure. Why did he get title shot after title shot? He just fought for the U.S. title.
No, I know they bill him at 196.
See. Sí, lo puedo. Ay, Cali. Ay, que lástima.
There you go.
Yeah. Thank you. Anyways. That's the pre-show.
Yeah.
The show opened off. This was kind of surprising. They kicked it off with New Day versus the Shield.
That's not that surprising because they want to get the crowd hyped for the show.
Well, this is the one to do it.
Yeah.
We knew that the New Day, obviously coming hot off their pretty epic feud with the Usos.
Yeah.
See, that's the match that probably should have kicked this off. Usos versus T-Bar.
That was a good match.
Yeah, that was a good match. But we weren't sure if New Day was going to have that same sort of special chemistry that they have with the Usos with the Shield. That stuff takes time to build.
It does.
However, by the end of this match, I think it was pretty close to having.
They gave this match a ton of time.
Yeah, they did.
Over 20 minutes.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun, too. It was a lot of fun. Roman's still getting some booze, though.
Yeah, there was a lot of Roman booze during this match.
Yeah, so lesson to be learned, the Shield can only take on other acts that aren't over.
Yeah.
That people don't like.
Yeah. Yes, and this match was over 20 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
Second longest of the entire show.
Also, they did not refer to the Shield as the original Shield.
No, thankfully.
Thankfully, they just called them the Shield.
They're the Shield.
They are the Shield.
Everybody else is more or less honorary members. They're not full-fledged members.
Faux Shield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They started out slow. They're laying the groundwork for some storytelling stuff, but it eventually picked up. New Day did a promo to precede the match.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of fun spots. He had New Day hitting a double midnight hour.
That was fun.
On Dean and Seth, and then Roman breaking up the pinfall by spearing
Big E onto the pinfall attempt. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Finish saw Kofi take a triple powerbomb off the top rope. Second rope, sorry. Pretty brutal.
Yeah, no, it was fun.
Shield
was,
wins as expected.
Good, solid dream matchup here.
Yeah.
This is better than any of those Amalgam Universe matchups.
Yeah.
You know, it was a great, great idea, but man, execution-wise.
Yeah, they just kind of mashed up two heroes.
Yeah, it was like...
They took it too literal.
Superman and Captain A-Ted. No, it was like Steve Rogers... Wait, what was it? I don't know.
Well, it was Superman and Captain America.
Superman and Captain America.
It was Spider-Man and...
Batman and Wolverine. Spider-Man and I forget who.
Yeah, it was Batman and Wolverine.
It was all dumb. Anyways, this is wrestling. Stephanie backstage with the women's Raw team.
Get him fired
hyping up. Hyping them up, saying, hey, look. Like, you know, for example, Sasha Banks. We've had our differences in the past. Mm-hmm. We need to put those aside and bring all that confidence and swagger you have... into ring.
Yes.
So you can beat Team SmackDown Woman.
Yes.
Yeah. Asuka. I told you. I was like, how great it would be if, like, she starts talking to Asuka and Asuka just gets revved up and, like, bites her on the face.
Oh, better yet. Like, just, like, puts her in the Asuka lock.
Yeah, launches at Stephanie. So jazzed up.
She just wants to fight. This match played out pretty much as
we expected. Nia Jax, no walking out. Can't walk out on this match. You're here. You got to stay here, okay?
No leave of absence during this match.
Give me your cell phone. You're not talking to The Rock today, okay?
This match played out pretty much exactly how we thought. Asuka, in the end, had to eliminate two by herself, but she eliminated the last three members of Team SmackDown. Not quite as dominating fashion as I had hoped.
Well, Becky Lynch for kicked things off with getting rolled up, eliminated via roll-up.
Yeah, I know, by Bayley.
Bayley rolled her up.
Maybe she has the Baron Corbin weakness, too, with roll-ups.
Yeah, pretty shocking way to start things off. Carmella had her head literally go 360 degrees thanks to that Asuka kick.
Asuka kicked the heck out of her.
That looked,
we were legit worried that she was concussed.
That looked so flush, and then she fell like a sack, and then Asuka pinned her. And then she still looked like she was like, I.
Yeah, it looked like she needed some help getting up after after she rolled out of the room.
There was that cartoonish lump that went, like that. I love cartoons, man.
Stars appeared over her head.
Little birds.
Little birds, yeah. Little birds. Started flying and circling around her head.
Exactly.
Trying to come to.
There was a great moment with Tamina and Nia Jax, the two powerhouses of each team getting in the ring together, so people really like to see that.
Yeah.
Tamina somehow got the
pin on Bayley after a top rope splash.
Yeah, she got the pin on. They booked Tamina pretty strong because she also was sort of responsible for the count out on Nia Jax.
She definitely was. There's no sort of about it. She definitely was.
That was cool. A couple of sushi. She held her own little mini super kick party on a bunch of people.
Yeah.
They were booking Tamina strong, man.
They were.
What did I tell you when Tamina was in there with Nia Jax? I wanted to hear some dinosaur fight sounds. Because they're like two big dinosaurs, like the T-Rexes, is going at it. It was good.
Yeah.
That would have been kind of cool. I like dinosaur fights.
Yeah, dinosaur. Well, dinosaur fights in movies are great. I don't think I want to be privy to one in real life, though.
Well, you know, I've had that on that Ask Stephen Lacey show that me and the wife do. Uh-huh. Somebody asked me that. Would you rather be in the age of the dinosaurs or be, like, in the far future? I don't want to be in the dinosaurs. I'd get picked off in a second.
Yeah,
in a heartbeat, man.
You would.
That'd be terrifying.
It'd be T-Rex lunch.
It'd be pretty fun, though.
In an instant.
I mean, it's like saying, do you want to go, like, with no protection, like an African safari area where, like, you know, it's populated by tigers and fast cats like that?
There's no tigers in Africa.
No? What are the fast cats?
Cheetahs.
Cheetahs? Are they in African safari areas?
Yes.
Who'd want? I don't want to be attacked by a cheetah.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to either.
Terrifying. Yeah. I couldn't run nearly as fast as a cheetah.
No.
No.
I believe they're the fastest mammal.
Anyway, moving on.
Nia Jax got count out after a couple super kicks from Tamina, one in the ring, one outside. Tamina did a crossbody off the ring steps.
Right.
So Nia Jax eliminated via count out.
You're out of here.
Alicia Fox was also eliminated with a roll-up, courtesy of Naomi.
Yeah.
And then Naomi was quickly eliminated by Sasha Banks with the bank statement.
I'm sorry, Chris Freeman in chat here says, not funny, they are not dinosaurs, they are beautiful women. They are that as well. I just like, when any people are fighting, I think it's great if you hear dinosaur sounds.
Well, we're taking a break. Christian Johnson, $5 super chat. Styles not the greatest in-ring performer of all time now. Omega is 3 to him behind HBK and Styles. Who is your number one in-ring performer between these three?
HBK, Omega, and Styles.
I'm
giving it to AJ Styles,
I'll stick with HBK.
Really?
Yeah, especially we just watched Survivor Series 2003 in May.
That was good, man. That was fun.
Yeah, it was good.
Another super chat, Mr. Michael Law, 2011. Hey, Larson, are you planning on catching the arrow? Apparently.
The Detective Lance thing.
I don't think you look like him, but I can kind of see it a little bit.
Jeff Davis, $5, and back from last night. That was fun. Good to have you join us today,
good
Jeff
to have
Davis.
You back, Jeff. Glad you made it safely. Anyways, yeah, like we said, we kind of called this Asuka coming. I was hoping it would be more like 4-on-1, but that might be too much to ask.
Well, she did eliminate the last three members of Team
She did, up. Yeah, that's true. 3-on-1 is good. Well, you know. Yeah, so that was fine.
It was 2-on-1, but it was 3-on-2 before that because, she kicked Carmella in the head.
They're back on task with Asuka.
Asuka kicked Carmella in the head, pinned her. Looked like Carmella might have really got her bell rung.
At some point, they should have done a shot of William Regal looking at the TV from the side, being very happy for his protege.
Oh, Asuka, yes.
Asuka.
Sasha was eliminated by Natalya with a sharpshooter.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Tamina eliminated by Asuka with an armbar.
Asuka.
And then finally, Natalya versus Asuka.
Mm-hmm.
Natalya couldn't handle. She was not ready for Asuka, or the Asuka lock.
Asuka lock.
Tapped out. Asuka is your sole survivor. Team Raw, they win.
Yep, Asuka wins everything. And of course, during Survivor Series, they kept on doing the scoreboard.
Yes,
who's up and who's
so
down?
Raw was up 2-0.
2-0 at that point. Looked like might be looking at a clean sweep.
Well, we knew that wasn't going to happen.
But then The Miz and Baron Corbin happened. Hey.
Well, yeah, there's this backstage thing between Stephanie McMahon and Daniel
Bryan.
I went to go use the bathroom, so I missed a good chunk of this. So please fill me in.
I don't remember any of it. None of it was very consequential.
She was accusing him. You told me at the time that she was accusing him of nepotism because.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cena
she's
was
like,
on the team.
I should have seen it coming. You reached out to your brother-in-law or your future brother-in-law, whatever it is. Yeah, it's future because they're not married yet. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was like, nepotism? What are you talking about? You have the cerebral assassin.
Your husband.
Yeah, your husband on your team. And then she said something back, and he said, like, that time I beat Triple H to move on to the main event at WrestleMania 30, and the whole crowd went, dang. That Shelton Benjamin-inspired gif, you know. Anyways, you've seen that one, right?
Yeah.
That Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah.
That was funny.
That was great.
It's one of my favorite gifs.
It's a good one.
What's your favorite gif?
Ooh.
A lot of good gifs out there. I mean, it's got to be a Jake Gyllenhaal
one,
right?
Yeah, it's from Nightcrawler. Or the one from, was it a Source Code?
Oh, that's, yeah. So anyways, Baron Corbin went over here. This is a decent match between these two.
Yeah, it was interesting because Maurice was ringside, so Miz was almost working face.
Hey, let me say this really quick.
Apart from the Miztourage interfering.
So, C-Bar and the Usos didn't really get much of a build-up because, I mean, their match wasn't even, like, figured out until the week before.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the Team Raw, Team SmackDown, AJ Brock, a lot of these got decent build-ups. With this, all they had were their promos.
On social media.
On social media, essentially. Miz was able to drop some promos.
Well, Miz, yeah, dropped some promos on Miz TV.
On Miz TV.
Yeah.
But they didn't have, like, this wasn't brand versus brand. This was like...
Champion versus champion.
They had to figure this out just via promo, and they made it a little personal with Baron Corbin calling out him and his wife and saying, you know, go home with your wife, whatever it was. And then Miz came back dropping an F-bomb on Baron Corbin. I thought this was, from what they were allowed, a decent build to this feud.
Yeah.
I thought it had a little heat behind it because of the promo work, mainly from the Miz, but also Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
You had the United States Championship, the Intercontinental Championship, the two title holders going at it. I called it. Baron Corbin went over with End of Days.
Yeah.
So I win predictions. What's my prize?
I shaved all my hair off. There you go.
We just ripped off the cultaholic thing. No, you did. I'm actually really curious to know what Pacitti looks like without hair because he's probably got a goofy head.
Oh, I don't know.
If I ever shave my head, man, that'd be terrible.
You say that. I can see your hair. Your head might be a little square.
Yeah, I have a square head.
Okay.
And it's got like some lumps on it.
Okay.
So once this goes, which, you know,
any day now,
I've got some thickening cream in it, man. When it looks bald, when it has nothing in it,
yeah,
it's wiry and bald. I look like I'm 60.
Yeah,
no good.
Yeah.
So any day now, you're gonna be confronted. The audience is gonna go away in droves.
Probably
start wearing a hat.
Yeah, you should.
I'll just like goes. Well, you'll stay long here. I'll just wear the hat like some directors do.
Like Hogan does.
Like Hogan does. Yeah, exactly.
Jeff Davis, $5. He says his bank account isn't happy with all those chats. Lol. I think he ended up giving you guys $30 last night.
Stop doing it!
Stop!
It's good. We love you, man.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
You don't have to do any more.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it. You're grounded. No more super chats for you.
No more.
Anyway.
Yeah, Baron won. He had a good interview afterwards, too.
Yeah, he did. He said,
the Miz.
Hey, Miz. And you know he rehearsed this.
Like, oh, yeah.
Probably ad nauseum.
Yeah.
Hey, Miz. My hand goes up.
When my hand went up.
Your mouth went closed.
Shut.
And you're not me.
Yeah, it was good.
You can get this shirt right now.
Hold it up.
You can get this shirt right now.
It's not official.
This one, I wipe my nose on this one. It's you can have this official. One for extra money. This is our Twitter.
Battle
Stream Deck. Anyways, after that we had a Paul Heyman interview.
Backstage.
Did I get up for this?
I think so. I don't remember a whole lot about it. It seemed pretty typical.
I'm sure he said something along the lines of, Brock's going to win tonight.
Yeah.
I'm the advocate.
Yeah. Apparently, I didn't see it, but I saw a headline that Heyman gave an interview after.
Afterwards, he put over AJ.
Really put over AJ.
Yeah. Well, man, that match.
It's good. We'll get to it.
It's a really good match.
It was good.
Next up, we had C-Bar versus Usos. This is a really fun match. I figured this would be a really fun match.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I saw this coming.
Yeah. Usos promo before the match.
Yeah.
Their mic work is top-notch these days.
Oh, I love it. It's great. I'm a completely 180 degrees on the Usos at this point. I love them. I used to not love them.
Yeah, I used to not like them.
I'll be really bummed out if they ever go back to that goofiness that they used to do before.
Oh, I don't think if it's going to happen, it's not going to happen for a while.
The weird, non-intimidating dance they did. They would say weird things. I don't like it. Anyways. Yeah, lots of super kicks in this match. Lots of hard hitting.
A lot of super kicks, a lot of European uppercuts.
And then even once, as Byron Saxon said, super kick party.
He did.
Uh-oh.
And apparently Young Bucks took to Twitter to threaten a cease and desist.
Yeah.
That's their phrase.
I know, man. You can't use that.
I know.
But
it's a bit hypocritical, WWE, to
I know. I think they just, I think Vince just wants to dick with them.
Probably.
You know.
It seems petty.
Rude.
It's very petty.
It is petty. I agree.
Very petty.
What are you going to do? I'm not going to stop watching.
Oh, I know. Without watching WWE product, we have to do something else.
We have to do what will we do?
Barista.
Yeah. I'd work at Target, but then, like, on my time off, like in my breaks, I'd get my iPad and make my comic books.
There you go.
I try to sell comic books. No, I'd start up my Star Trek Four Lights podcast.
Okay.
Are you going to be with me on that one?
I don't know Star Trek as well as you do.
Yeah. You and Big Jim. Big Jim be my primary guest.
When you watch, this is completely off topic.
Good.
Well, not really, because it's about Star Trek. Good. When you watch Wrath of Khan,
yeah, it's the best.
A few weeks back, what platform did you use to watch Wrath of Khan?
iTunes.
Oh,
okay. I purchased it a long time ago.
Because I have it on. I have the director's cut on DVD, but I wanted to watch it the other night. But I want to watch it in the highest possible fidelity.
Oh, sure.
Not on Netflix. Amazon doesn't allow you to stream to a Chromecast. So I ended up not watching it. So have you watched Mindhunter, that Netflix show yet?
Oh, I've seen like the most of the first episode.
Yeah, we watched the first episode.
I liked it so far.
Yeah, it was all right.
I heard some people criticizing it, but I don't know what their criticisms were about. And I never got back into it. The opening scene is pretty brutal, and the dude shoots his freaking head off.
Yeah, I know. Like, you know, I understand the pilot. The first episode's pilot is set up.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting to see what happens.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, I liked it so far, though. But no, man, I'm going to get, during the holiday season, I'm getting a 70-inch screen TV.
Should.
I want to watch Wrath of Khan. You want to come over and watch
it? Yeah, I'll watch that.
All right, you'll come over. We'll get some beers. Anyways, this was great.
Yeah.
This was awesome. When Jimmy went flying out of the ring, and as
cross body on Cesaro.
And as he flew out of the ring, he stuck his hand out and tagged Jay in. So, because he knew he was leaving for a spell.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
And then Jay went to the top rope, hit a splash on Sheamus, got the win.
That was like some superhero stuff.
Yeah, that was a great finish of the match. Because it was super kick party.
Yeah.
That finish. It was good stuff.
It was really good.
Fun match.
Jason Jordan gave a great interview after this.
Yeah, man. He was really whiny.
Ooh, bitter beer face.
Yeah.
Very whiny.
Kind of on a sinister note.
Kind of an ominous note, and then we saw nothing of him. We also, I don't know if it was earlier or this was at this point, when AJ was milling about backstage and Jinder showed up and sort of gave him the face. And then nothing ever happened with that.
Well, Jinder did an interview before AJ's match against Brock.
Oh, did he?
Set interview, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And just said, you know, I'm rooting for SmackDown. He had a SmackDown shirt on. And then said, but in this match, I want Brock Lesnar to win.
Oh, wow.
Because I have my rematch Tuesday on SmackDown.
Ooh, wow. Boy, it's going to be interesting to see how AJ sells the match with Brock because, ooh boy, he got beat up quite a bit.
Yeah, we're almost there.
Anyways, this Jason Jordan interview was great because
super whiny.
Like, by the end, he was like, I want Team Raw to win, but before that, I want Triple H to be eliminated.
Yeah.
He's so whiny.
But then he said something at the end that was kind of ominous and sinister.
What did he say?
Well, he made a face, too.
Yeah, he made a face. I remember the face. I thought that's what he said during the face. I'm going to cut his throat. Whoa, Jason Jordan. That is not pro wrestling.
Mm-mm.
I'm going to poop down his neck.
Down his neck?
Yeah.
So starting here.
No. Like, you know, that's a phrase in a movie. I'm going to rip your head off and crap down your neck.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
What's that from?
That's Unnecessary Roughness.
Oh!
The coach is inspiring his team, says we're going to rip their heads off and poop down their neck.
Jason Jordan didn't actually say that.
And then he follows that up by saying, let us pray.
Yeah.
During it as a halftime talk.
I like that you know that movie so well. How'd you do you have tonight to do fantasy still?
Yeah.
For Ulysses? How's it look for you?
Not very good.
Russell Wilson has to go off big time, huh?
Yep. Yeah. Next, Charlotte Flair versus Alexa Bliss. Gave this match a ton of time, too.
This was the best Alexa Bliss match. Oh, my gosh. God, I hope I get 100 points over him.
Oh, my God. Fantastic.
All right. This was the best Alexa Bliss match there
had
been.
Massive loose face coming out.
There, yeah, she doesn't telegraph wins and losses very well.
Mm-mm.
I'm sorry, she does. She does tell, yeah.
Too well.
Too well, yeah, sorry. The other way.
She has no poker face.
Zero poker face. However, this was the best match. Charlotte carried her to the best match she's ever had.
Mm-hmm.
I'm confident in saying that. This match was very long. I thought it was very good.
15 minutes.
Yeah.
The shortest match on the main card was Corbin and Miz. Nine and a half.
Alexa took to the offense pretty early on and dominated for the first half of the match. And then Charlotte mounted a comeback.
She was working over her ribs.
Yeah, the ribs.
Spot where she had a kind of like abdominal stretch.
Doing the ribs.
Elbow.
Doing the ribs.
Some fingernails.
Getting the ribs in
between
there.
The individual ribs, getting those muscles in there, causing a lot
hard
of pain.
Hard to do the figure four with busted ribs. The figure eight, I'm sorry.
Yeah, when you bridge, there's a lot of torque on the rib cage.
So is it the bridge that makes it the eight?
Yes.
Right. But before then,
I think it makes it so you can't reverse the pressure.
Right. Oh, yeah, because as you know.
If you turn it over, you reverse the pressure, so the other person feels
the
pain. The
pressure transfers over.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I love that part in the Stone Cold podcast where he asked Ric Flair about it.
Rick, that don't make a lick of damn sense. How is it when you reverse the figure four, all that pressure goes to the other side? Man, I don't know. Oh, I don't know, Steve.
That was great.
That was great.
Alexa had a couple chances to win this match. She hit a DDT on Charlotte.
Yeah.
Right near the ropes. Charlotte got her boot up onto the rope.
Yes.
At first, Alexa was going to use that leg as leverage for the pin, but then she thought, if I do that, then Charlotte can't get her foot.
Yeah, she's about to go into business for herself there.
Then she used the other leg.
She's about to take that SmackDown Championship.
I think Charlotte she could have grabbed on the rope with her arm.
Yeah, maybe. She'd have been like, you dick. Why'd you do that?
Probably.
Yeah.
She went for a twisted bliss. Charlotte got her knees up.
Yep.
Eventually, Charlotte got the figure eight.
Mm-hmm.
Alexa Bliss tapped.
Yeah.
Charlotte wins.
She sold the loss really well, though. Like, you know, she had lose face coming out, but then, you know, by the end of the match, she sold it, like, you know, really, really well.
Yeah.
The losing and the sadness and disappointment and despair of losing.
Yes.
So, yeah, we called this one, too. Pretty much called all of them, except for...
Well, I got the Miz winning wrong otherwise.
Yeah.
Next, AJ Styles versus Brock Lesnar.
Now, we both knew this was going to be a good match.
Well, we both hoped it would be a good match.
Yeah, I mean, look, if AJ can bring Jinder Mahal to a decent match, we know he can put on something pretty captivating with the Beast Incarnate.
Yeah.
Part of me still just wanted to see Jinder versus Brock, but I know it would have been a terrible match.
Yeah.
It would have been awful.
Yeah, probably wouldn't have been very good.
This was, my God, good.
It was really good.
This was a really, really good match. AJ, for the first giant chunk of this match, ragdolled.
Was taking a beating.
But when he ragdolls, when he gets beat, again, he sells it so well because it straddles this line between not being cartoonish like in the Dolph Ziggler territory, more along the lines of who I think is the bestseller in NXT, Roderick Strong,
mm-hmm.
where you really get across it, oh my God, this hurts. And on top of that, when he does things like when Brock tossed him over the rope, you know, we both start clenching. We're like, oh God.
I know.
Because he does stuff that looks like he could mess himself up.
He knows how to fall.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like fall and not hurt himself.
And that's like, that is a...
But makes it look like he's
hurting. That's a flipping talent.
I know.
You know, that is an absolute talent right there.
So, Brock was throwing him all over the ring. Suplexes, German suplexes.
Mm-hmm.
Massive Beal, I believe, threw him on the top rope.
Yeah.
A lot of stiff knees to the midsection. AJ was sounding like a champ, and then AJ would just start chipping away, taking up Brock's legs.
Yeah, we kind of figured this would feature a lot of leg kicking from AJ Styles, and it did.
It did. And then at one point, action got to the outside. It seemed like AJ had the upper hand.
Mm-hmm.
Did some forearms
on
Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
And then AJ hit a 450.
Yeah.
Brock kicked out. AJ kept on working the leg over, eventually got Brock into the calf crusher. And Brock, to his credit, was selling like a champ.
Yeah, big time. He looked gassed.
Yeah.
Like, this match made him work for it.
Yeah.
You can always tell when Brock likes his opponent, and I think he really likes AJ, because he was gassed. He was so sweaty and, like...
And purple.
Purple. He like, weird colors.
They got out of the calf crusher by slamming AJ's head into the mat.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was fantastic. It looked great. Anyways, Brock kicked out of the phenomenal forearm. AJ goes back for another one. leaps into an F5, essentially.
Yeah.
Brock was really selling the crap out of the knee.
He was. I guess I read he was actually selling it backstage, too. People thought he was legit hurt.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Meltzer was talking about that this morning.
Oh, wow. But the thought is he's fine.
Oh, he's fine. Yeah. That's what Meltzer says. He's fine.
That's fantastic. Man, that's so great. Good for Brock, man.
Yeah, because when he caught AJ, his knee gave out.
Right.
For a brief moment before he hit the F5, so I think people thought he might have got hurt then.
And he was, like, after the match, he was looking at Paul saying, and he was selling
up the ramp.
He was selling it so great. This was probably my, so there's sort of this classification of Brock matches in this macro lead up to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Where we've seen this with Braun, we've seen it with Joe, we've seen it with who else?
I don't think he had a defense between Mania and Great Balls of Fire.
So he got it from Goldberg.
Yeah,
at Mania.
In April. And then Great Balls of Fire was June. I think that was his first
Did
defense.
He kick out of a jackhammer at Mania?
Mm-hmm.
He did? Okay. So it kind of started with Goldberg, I guess. Where they do this thing where did one F5 take out Goldberg?
I don't remember.
Okay, I don't remember that much.
I wouldn't be surprised, though.
But we've seen this with Ron and Joe, anyway.
They're booking the F5 to be top finisher, essentially.
Right, exactly. Where he will kick out of their finish,
yeah,
but they won't kick out of his.
Yes.
And at first it seemed awkward with Joe, because it was like, really, just one? And then it was Braun, and it was like, oh, okay, so they're doing this.
Yeah, the pattern has been established.
This was by far my favorite match of this sort of set of Brock Lesnar matches leading up to Mania. And it followed basically the same pattern. But, man, it was so good because of AJ selling, because of the storytelling.
And Brock selling. We shouldn't discount.
And Brock selling. Brock selling
AJ's off.
The calf crusher bit was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It was really, really good. And then, yeah, of course, after the match as well with the knee. And he kept on looking back at AJ as if to be like, Jesus, that little guy just put me through the ringer.
Yeah.
You know? So that was fantastic. That was really, really something else. Hats off to both men.
Yes.
And it was by far a much better match than we've gotten.
Oh, yeah.
Brock versus Jinder.
Yes.
And I'm very grateful that they went this route.
Yes.
However, there's still that part of me.
Yeah, that was curious.
That was curious. I want to know how they would have booked it.
Eric, take a quick break for a couple of super chats. Quest the Raven, chat, $79, buddy. $5. Velveteen Dream, Rico, Attitude Era, Goldust, and Rick Rude. Who wins Fatal 4-Way?
Rick Rude, man.
Yeah.
Nobody's beating him.
Devin Martinez, $10. Can I get an Undertaker
Legacy?
And an I'm the man.
Those are both your kind of thing. You do legacy.
Ed Cabo, $2. Larson would be the heel barista. Orders all wrong.
Can I get a tall, hot cocoa with whipped cream on top? Then you say, not going to happen.
Venti,
cold brew. I don't want it cold, man. It's cold outside.
With soy milk.
Fine, just anything hot.
What's your name?
Steve.
Scott, here's your coffee.
You're not very good at your job. All right, so that brought us to
the
men's Team Raw versus Team SmackDown.
Crap booking.
No, this is great, man. This was so bad, but I was into it. I liked it. Number one, I loved how Team Raw comes out. We get a new Balor.
Red Balor,
who confirmed is just above Pumpkin Balor.
Yeah.
Because he's not better than Man Balor.
No.
Not better than Demon Balor.
No, he's definitely not better than Grey Balor.
Grey Balor is prime Balor.
Grey Balor is top Balor.
Top Balor. But then Pumpkin Balor, we only saw a close-up of and never saw in a match.
That was enough.
And that was, yeah, we never, so he doesn't even get to prove his bona fides. He's not a suitor. He's a suitor. Red Balor making some great faces.
Yeah.
Interacting. Too sweeting Triple H.
Yeah.
But not enough to crack.
I don't think he eliminated anybody, did he?
No, I don't think he did either. Oh, wait, he hit a coup de grace?
Yeah, but he didn't.
He didn't eliminate anybody?
No, because Cena, he hit the coup de grace on Angle.
Oh.
But Cena followed up with an AA.
Gotcha. Okay. Anyways.
Oh, sorry. Backwards. Cena took the coup de grace.
Okay.
Then Angle hit an Angle Slam. Sorry.
There was some fun stuff at the beginning with Nakamura. The crowd and the other wrestlers were treating Nakamura like the star he is.
Yeah.
He gets in there. He was wearing... So this is great. So Team Raw, who comes out first? SmackDown, Team SmackDown came out.
No, Raw came out.
Raw came out first. Even Triple H.
Had Triple H shirt, but it was red.
But it was red. Balor had red. He was red Balor. He had red pants or
Joe,
red
Joe
trunks.
Wore his red trunks.
Yeah, so he did what
everybody
he
was had red on. So Angle then, had red shoes
yeah.
to go with his, you know, America-themed
outfit. Oh, he looked great.
Outfit.
Yeah.
But he was even wearing a Raw shirt over it.
Yeah. Out comes Team SmackDown.
Shane's got a blue baseball jersey.
Right.
Orton has a SmackDown shirt on, I think.
He's got a SmackDown shirt
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Nakamura comes out with new
instead
gear.
Instead of red leather, blue. It's blue. Bobby Roode had a blue SmackDown shirt on, and I'm pretty
blue trunks.
Blue trunks, probably a blue robe.
And then John Cena comes out in the latest John Cena shirt. Which is
Volt colored.
Yeah, Volt bright green.
Which is like this, but on steroids.
Yeah, it's like a combination of these two.
Right, but then glowing.
Yeah, by glowing pretty much.
Yeah.
It's basically iridescent.
So like there
or
was,
sorry, luminescent.
Yeah, so this dude couldn't even, no, like, I mean.
He had blue jorts.
If they say, look.
He had blue on his shoes.
They say, look, John, we're going to debut some new merch. Okay, well, when's Black Friday? It's like a couple days after Survivor Series. Okay, well, how about for Survivor Series, because of Survivor Series, and everybody else is supporting Team SmackDown. He hasn't been in the build, beyond a Twitter mention. He hasn't been in the build. There's no emotional stakes for him whatsoever. Right. He's above brand, so it doesn't really matter which team he's on.
No.
He hasn't even given a promo.
No, yet he seemed his primary role during the course of the match was to be cheerleader for Team SmackDown.
Right, exactly.
Because we were listening in, with earbuds.
Yeah.
We could hear him in the corner. Trying to rally the troops.
Come on, Bobby Roode.
All the time.
Yeah. And so he comes out, and so he couldn't just say, hey, look, just wear Team SmackDown here. And then, but no, it's Survivor Series. He wants to sell some merch. Let's just get a jump on this Black Friday stuff.
There was blue in his shirt, though.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's because he wears jorts. What else?
Type
yeah.
blue.
Yeah, okay. It's because it goes really good with Volt.
Yeah, apparently.
You know, otherwise you can put red in there. It just looks like some Christmas steroid shirt.
Yeah, but, it, you know, Christmas season is nearly upon us. Anyways,
he looked ridiculous.
Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous.
It was
pretty, jarring.
But it was damn funny.
It was.
Funny. Like, it was fun to laugh at.
The business for himself.
Exactly. Literally. Where's his punishment?
So, yeah, the start of the match, we had all these little dream matchups. We had Balor and Nakamura in the ring at the same time.
That was great.
Triple H and Nakamura.
That was great. Oh, yeah, because the crowd started chanting NXT, and then they transitioned to a New Japan chant.
Yeah.
Which Vince must have loved.
And then, Bobby Roode, Triple H.
Mm-hmm. Which is great because it's Triple H and Triple H.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Triple H and it was Triple H and Triple H 17.
It was all good stuff.
Mm-hmm. This was fun. Team SmackDown. So Nakamura, do you have the Nakamura got eliminated first by Braun Strowman
ridiculous.
After a power slam?
That was ridiculous.
Then Bobby Roode.
I mean, at least Nakamura got some good offense in.
He had some fun moments.
He was probably in the ring of any member of Team SmackDown the most. Before his elimination.
I wonder if there was an element of wanting to protect him a bit. I mean, you get power slammed by Braun Strowman, that's pretty hard to kick out of.
It's like he got some decent moments, but give him an elimination or something.
In a perfect world, he would have been the last one there.
Yeah.
I totally agree. I'm with you on that one. It's just, this match was so dumb.
It was.
But I thought it was fun, and especially the end was so dumb, but I thought it was hilarious, and it made it for me. I was like, okay. This is because I was always a Triple H guy.
I know.
It's great to see one last total Triple H moment.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure he booked this match himself.
Oh, I don't know.
Was he
making fun of his own golden shuffle?
Yeah, I think so. And if you look at the look on his face, I think it was that as well. And I think he's a big Braun Strowman guy.
Yeah, I can believe that.
I think Triple H booked the crap out of this match.
Or maybe.
I think it was him. Because he got, like, dream moments from his guys, Balor and Nakamura.
Well, the thing, too, is commentary, I think they sold the wrong motivation for the finish. We'll get to that. We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
At least storyline-wise, it would have made more sense. Anyways, both Nakamura and Roode were eliminated by Strowman. Strowman did all the eliminating for Team Raw.
Sure, yeah.
I believe. No, sorry. Angle got Cena. Both pretty quickly, back-to-back power slams.
Mm-hmm.
And then Team SmackDown. I mean, Nakamura and Roode hadn't even left the ringside area.
Yeah, right.
They're there to help out. Team SmackDown suplex.
Mm-hmm.
Braun Strowman through an announce table.
Mm-hmm.
So it took him out of the match for a while.
Yeah, that was fun.
Had a brief encounter between Samoa Joe and Cena. Cena got the better of that encounter.
Yeah.
Two AAs.
Yeah.
Joe's eliminated.
Yeah. There was a great moment, we forgot to mention this earlier on, when Bobby Roode was about to do his glorious thing, and Finn Balor was in the background, and he kept on saying, don't do it, don't do it.
That
was great.
Well, then Triple H responded, doing his own glorious thing in transition to a crotch chop.
Yeah, that was fun. That was cool. There's a bunch of little fun moments like that.
Yeah, there were.
I feel like everybody was just having fun in this match, except for maybe Randy Orton. And John Cena's head was still on the Bumblebee movie.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
Because he was eliminated next. He took an angle slam, a coup de grace, mm-hmm. and I think another angle slam.
Well, Joe was eliminated. I don't know if you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And there was a fun moment there. Cena and Angle were in the you know, obviously Cena.
Got to start.
Ruthless aggression. He's like, what's your name? Juan Cena. Back in 2002. So, yeah, that was fun. Him and Angle were in the ring together. But, yeah, Cena eliminated by Angle after a coup de grace and an angle slam.
And then Orton takes out Balor with an RKO.
Finn Balor. Goodbye, Red Balor.
And then Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn come out. Shane's, at this point, yeah, he's the last man on Team SmackDown, I believe.
It's him and Randy Orton.
Oh, sorry, yeah, Orton.
Yeah.
So Owens and Zayn come out to attack Shane, pull him off the apron as Orton's going for the hot tag. They beat him up a bit. Shane gets a chair, starts mm-hmm. laying into Owens and Zayn.
Trying very, very hard not to go over. He's still, his mindset with chair shots is still firmly entrenched in the Attitude Era.
Seems like it.
Because he has a hard time aiming for the back. It's like he always instinctually wants to aim for the head. And then he's like, I got to just
angle it so I don't
over so I can
concuss anybody.
Yeah.
Owens gets in the ring. Orton gives him an RKO.
Yeah.
Shane kind of chases Owens and Zayn up the ramp.
Right.
Stays up there. In the meantime, Orton is eliminated by a Strowman power slam.
Uh-huh.
So now Shane is last man on Team SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
So
then it's like Shane versus Braun, Triple H, and Kurt Angle. And it's like, all right,
there's no drama at that point.
We don't really have to keep, you know.
Yeah, there's zero drama.
Yeah, it was kind of ridiculous. I mean, barring some massive turn or something, which we kind of got. So
Shane finds himself in the ankle lock for a good while. He's trying to get to the ropes, trying to fight it off.
And to his credit, yeah, he's doing a good job. Yeah.
You see Triple H in the background, like he's battling something within.
Yeah, him. Yeah, yeah. He's
like
sort of
his brother-in-law there. Yeah. He doesn't want to see him hurt, so he gets in the ring.
Which seemingly he has some more. He has more. Like I want to know is that number one? Are we going to see Triple H tonight at Raw?
Oh yeah.
Last time when what was it? He gave the title to Kevin Owens, and we're like, we're going to see him at Raw. What was the thing?
It was a backstage thing between him and Owens before the Festival of Friendship.
Or was there a Rollins thing? Where we were like, oh, no, we'll see Triple H, and he'll explain why he did what he did. Maybe it was the Owens thing.
Yeah, it was. It was a lot of things. I think it was the Universal title thing.
Yeah.
We never got an explanation for that.
We never got that.
No.
He never showed up. Wouldn't surprise me at all. He probably will.
Listen to Build to Mania.
Because I think think about it. What can they do with him and Angle that couldn't be done at the Rumble?
Yeah.
I would think they were going to get Triple H Angle at the Rumble.
Could be.
Yeah.
But anyways, Triple H gets in the ring. Pedigrees Kurt,
mm-hmm.
puts Shane on top of him.
Yeah,
Kurt's eliminated. He's fired.
Yeah,
no job. So this is the problem I had with that whole thing: is that commentary was like, "Oh, Triple H just wanted to do everything himself."
Mm-hmm.
But shouldn't Triple H's motivation be to get Kurt Angle fired because that's what his wife wants?
Right.
They never. I don't remember them ever saying that on commentary last night.
Well, no, I would think that. So I don't think Stephanie wants Kurt to be fired.
She almost fired him on Raw.
Right. She wants Kurt to win. So I would think that this secures Kurt's job.
Oh, I don't know.
This keeps his job because they win. And he was about to tell
us. Oh, that's true. Yeah,
but here's my thing also, is that Stephanie seemingly wants Shane to suffer.
Yeah.
So why would Triple H then have, like, this sense of, oh, I don't want to see my brother-in-law. Like, he should be on the same page as Stephanie. Like, we know Stephanie. She should be like, yeah, rip his ankle off. You know? This is what you get, Shane, because we're McMahons and we hate everything.
Well, I thought he was just feigning concern.
Oh, you think it was
It was an acting job.
It was a worked work.
Yeah.
Okay, he's working as a work.
Yeah.
Interesting. That could be. Because here's the thing also. Triple H's entire reaction from this point on was hilarious, baffling.
Yeah.
And confusing. Yeah. A little baffling confusing.
Because like when he swerved Kurt, there was no huge reaction from the crowd.
Right.
Everybody was confused.
Right, exactly.
Silent.
Yeah.
Which is not the reaction I assume they would want.
Right, right.
They want shock, they want gasps. Yeah. There was none of that.
Yeah.
People went silent.
Right, it was weird.
And like Braun, I don't know if he was legitimately confused.
Braun did a great job of acting confused.
Yeah.
He did a really good job acting confused.
Excuse me. So Shane gets up, and Triple H is talking to Shane. Braun's over there, you know, his face is saying, what the heck is going on?
Yeah.
And almost looks like simultaneously Triple H is standing next to Shane to defend him while nodding to Braun to get in the ring or something.
Yeah. I kept on doing this. Yeah.
Doing that. He turns around, he pedigrees Shane.
Well, he turns around and he asks Shane, yeah, you're good, you good, yeah. Blah, 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 something like that. He talks to him a little bit. Then he pedigrees him.
Yeah.
Then he, does he pick up the pin?
Yeah.
Okay. I forgot if he had Braun come in and do it.
Yeah.
So yeah, picks up the win and then he starts celebrating. I told him, I was like, man, he looks like Hogan right now. He looks like Hogan after one of those weird WCW
botched.
Shoot, work, shoot, finishes. You know, like one of those, like, oh, I messed it up. But is the Russo thing
messed up? I know. Yeah.
He looked like Hogan after the finger poke of doom, which I think was kind of intentional because he had like his weird, goofy half smile on his face, and then he like lifts Braun's arm and like starts pointing at him. Yeah, look, big man, we just won this. Yeah, yeah. Be good and
Braun doesn't care about winning.
And Braun is Braun. And then in the best part of the night, Braun grabs Triple H's entire face and neck area with his giant mitt, runs him down into the corner and says, if you ever play me again like that, I'll end you, or something like that.
Yeah,
something
awesome like that. Don't double-cross me.
Yeah, exactly.
So Braun turns to walk away.
And Triple H looks like he's literally crapping his pants.
Yeah, Braun turns, walks away. Triple H tries to attack him from behind. Bad move, Triple H.
Right.
He's two power slams.
Yeah, it was great.
And you saw the video of him walking back.
And then everybody who's tweeting us is this amazing video of him walking back to the back, like his hands up like this.
Boy, he's still wobbling.
He's selling it.
The impact from the stuff.
And this was obviously, intentional. He turns around and he walks into the wall and he falls down. It was awesome. I mean, this is Triple H when he's kind of just having fun with everything.
Yeah.
Because he knows that he doesn't have a lot of time left, even on a part-time schedule, to keep on wrestling.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a lot of fun. Was it confusing? Yes. Was it weird? Yes. Was it unpredictable? Absolutely. Did not see Triple H doing a complete Triple H thing with this.
Was it satisfying? Not really.
I don't know. No, it wasn't. You're right, it wasn't. It was still entertaining, though. I don't know.
It was entertaining when Braun started power slamming.
Yeah.
People. Triple H, I mean.
I always liked the Triple H Golden Shuffle, man. That was cool.
Yeah, you always liked that.
I always liked Triple H.
We got a couple more Super Chats
to this day. You meant in 2017. He's still doing the Triple H Golden Shuffle.
Darth Cinema, $2. Book of New Japan versus WWE 5-on-5 Survivor Series match. So 5 from New Japan. So New Japan has to be Okada.
Yeah.
Naito.
Yeah.
Omega.
Mm-hmm.
Tanahashi.
Mm-hmm.
And Suzuki.
Okay.
Versus Cena.
Uh-huh.
Styles.
Mm-hmm.
Lesnar.
Mm-hmm. Nakamura. And Braun. There you go.
Those are good teams.
And then one last super chat from Gerardo Montanez Jr.
$1. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the support.
You want to take some questions for a little bit?
I'll take a couple questions.
Take a few questions. Got 10
Looks
minutes.
Like we ran out of a local recording over there.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, we'll be fine. Anyways, questions. Yeah, do we have questions? What now?
We're awaiting questions.
All right.
Damien says, out of all the matches I look forward to, the end match disappointed me the most. That's kind of my feeling.
Here's my thing. None of the other matches have disappointed me.
No, I know.
So, yeah, me too, but at the same time, I don't know. It entertained me.
The Rad Dan, only Stone Cold and The Rock could survive Triple H's Golden Shovel.
Yeah. How did you think... Oh, yeah, we do a Raw preview tonight. Let's see what WWE has on Raw.
Oh.
How did you see the finale playing out?
Oh, I didn't necessarily have any preconceptions in my head how it would play out.
Right. Neither did I, really.
I just didn't think it'd become the Triple H show at the end.
Look at that face. It's so hilarious.
I know. It's so over the top.
All right. Let's see here. Time for a Raw preview.
D-Cat City. Hold on.
Go ahead.
They eliminated Becky first to protect her from Asuka.
Maybe. Could be. I think it was probably more along the lines of they wanted a shocking first elimination. It was pretty shocking. So first up, we've got Game On. So they're talking about Triple H.
So it does seem
like we're going to get Triple H. It says, following Triple H's bizarre machinations.
Yeah.
And his triumphant grandstanding, the frustrated monster among men lashed out at the cerebral assassin. Maybe we'll get Braun. Braun's got to be in the Rumble. Or is Braun going to face
Triple H?
Braun will
be in the Rumble.
He's got to be in the Rumble.
Yeah. Or maybe they don't want him in the Rumble to protect him.
That could now thing.
So maybe he will take on Triple H, and they'll save Triple H angle for Mania. I don't know.
And then what's next for the Shield?
Getting those tag titles back.
Yeah. Where will their path lead them next? Ooh, next up, Asuka proves she's a survivor. Who will dare stand across from her tonight? Jobby McJobberton, that's who's going to stand across from her tonight. Let's see here. Something about Brock Lesnar. Now that Team Red's Universal title is all the more prestigious in light of the Beast Incarnate's and conquest, who will prove themselves to be Lesnar's next challenger? Red Balor. I think Red Balor is going to call him out.
Red Balor.
And then finally, how will Alexa Bliss, The Miz, and T-Bar handle defeat to SmackDown Live?
You know, they don't have to acknowledge it. Nicholas Diaz.
They don't have to acknowledge it, yeah.
What will happen to Sami and Kevin after they jump Shane? They will be disciplined.
They're going to be sent home from SmackDown. They're going to show up and they're going to say, you guys go home.
You guys are going to 205 Live.
Yeah, there you go. Now, you know, I think I don't see. So I didn't watch the Goldberg 24.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't watched a lot of those. But you would especially like the Kevin Owens 365 one. Because he's kind of exactly as I kind of figure he is, you know. Very hard on himself.
Yeah, he seems very critical.
Very sort of over-analytical about his own career and the path that he's on. And, you know, you've probably seen it on Twitter. Him coming to McMahon at Gorilla after his
Mania match. Yeah, yeah.
And he says, are we good? And McMahon just says, no. And then Kevin Owens just sort of stands there and he's like trying for an opportunity to talk to him some more about it and get some clarification, but McMahon's at Gorilla directing the show.
Yeah.
So he can't. And so it's just this awkward like standing there.
Oof.
And Michael Hayes is there and he's just sort of not looking at him. And so it's rough to see. But that's interesting. His relationship with Finn Balor is interesting.
Huh.
His relationship with Jericho is very interesting. It's really good stuff.
Yeah, I'll check that out. I'll check out this weekend. Chris Kimmel, $5. Did you see Stephanie McMahon congratulating Kevin and Sammy teasing they might be going to Raw?
Whoa,
yeah, I saw that on Twitter.
That could be. What's a good trade there? Kevin and Sammy for whom? Bring Green Grocer back? No.
Joe?
Yeah.
Wouldn't be something if Triple H says... Throw it out there. It's not going to happen. Braun, you attacked me. I don't want you on the show anymore. So it's Kevin and Sammy for Braun.
Oh, it could be.
That'd be pretty massive.
Braun.
Zero Frame Gaming, $5. You see Triple H walk face first into the set after the camera stopped rolling.
Pretty great. That's pretty great.
It's pretty good. That's some good bit of selling there by the game.
Yep. Durface, do you think rumors of Paige returning tonight are true? Who knows at this point?
Still be back several times already.
Who knows?
James RKOFL, do you think Brock Lesnar could have lasted 1 hour with AJ? Probably not.
No. Christian Jones, $5. Is WWE Vince screwing with the Young Bucks negatively affects potentially signing Kenny Omega, or is the potential draw of AJ at Mania enough?
I think short-term, it puts it in jeopardy.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's kind of obvious that they don't have a chance at Kenny before 2018 anyways.
Yeah. Connor Beck. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't know. At that point, if the offer is good enough, nobody's going to say no.
Well, Connor Beck, going in Raw, thoughts on TakeOver War Games, Tuesday morning, 6 a.m. It'll be there.
Yeah. We recorded it before we did this.
Yep.
That's tomorrow morning. Where does Mr. Michael Law, where does Jason Jordan go from here? $2 super chat. Thank you. More bitter.
Yeah.
I want to see more bitter.
Yeah.
More angry. Does he get to fight Triple H?
Oh, no.
No?
I don't think so.
No?
It's going to take him attacking Triple H to lay the groundwork for that. Him just kind of being slightly ominous.
Yeah, right.
It's not enough. Jonathan Wright, where does SmackDown go from here?
I don't know. It's going to be the Baron Corbin show, man.
It seems like it. They invested so much in the Shane storyline. That's going to be like so many other people got left behind.
That, there could be potentially a big problem for Baron if they do trade for one big monster, because Baron Corbin,
he kind of occupies that space on SmackDown right now. Right. I don't think Raw's not going to trade Braun. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think that's going to happen at all. I'm even doubtful that they'd trade Joe, but that's a possibility, I guess, because he's kind of redundant there. I mean, you have Braun.
Mm-hmm.
You have Roman.
Mm-hmm.
Joman.
You have Joe versus AJ for the title.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
With Nakamura getting eliminated so soon last night, do you think they view him, WWE that is, views him as a potential opponent for AJ at Mania?
Yeah, I do.
They're just not doing anything to lay the groundwork for that.
I know. On the house show circuit, they are.
Yeah, people, the 6,000 people there in attendance to see it.
Exactly.
I feel like a lot of that's just AJ doing that.
Yeah, it probably is, yeah. It probably is. Oh, I don't know, man. I mean, I would be surprised if they even had tentative plans for that title. I think Vince just cares about the Universal title and Brock and Roman. I think they're going to see where the chips fall. No.
It's a bummer.
Yeah.
Royal Rumble prediction from BC Underground. Reigns will win.
Reigns going to win. That's power rank 1 through 5.
Yeah.
Reigns wins. Anyways, that's it for the show. Thank you guys for tuning in. Really appreciate it. What do we have coming up later? Oh, programming note. We're not doing anything on Twitch this week. No gaming.
Yeah, we got to shoot a bunch of stuff in these 3 days so we can take a couple days off. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Our apologies. The gaming stuff will be back next week.
Yeah, for sure. Anyways, until next time, we'll talk to you guys. Oh, wait. Where's my out music? There's some out music.
One level music, I'm sure.
Out music.
There you go.
Thanks for watching. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
You can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.